It says there, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is our head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is God's Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Again, we recognize it and know it to be true, to be living and active. Lord, may we open our hearts to it. May we submit to Your Word, and may Your Spirit work through it to, again, mold us and shape us more and more into the likeness of Christ. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you just scan the text, again, there's sort of a category, a grouping of words and phrases that all sort of fit under the category of growth and maturity. It's things like building up the body of Christ, mature manhood, the stature of the fullness of Christ, no longer being children, growing up in every way, building itself up in love. There's lots of phrases and words there that talk about, that fit under the category of kind of maturity, of growth, of those types of things. But so we always ask that question can come up of how do we measure that? How do we measure maturity when we're talking about becoming a mature community? You could say, well, is it a certain age? Do you reach that at a certain age? I was looking up actually during the week, just out of curiosity, with talking about maturity. I thought of cheese. You've got mature cheddar. It takes about 6 months for cheddar to be mature cheddar. So that's based on an age. You wouldn't want to do that with milk. We wouldn't want mature milk. But, so how do we gauge this? What is maturity in the church? Is it amount of time? Is it age? Is it responsibility? Is it things we do? Is it wisdom? How do we measure maturity? Well, if you look there in verse 13, we actually see the word there, mature. It says, Paul says there, and so we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Now, the Greek word behind that we translate as mature, occurs in other places in Scripture, and sometimes it's translated differently. If you go to Matthew 5 and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it's in, I believe I've got it up here for us, it's translated there as perfect. And it's where Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect. Your heavenly Father is perfect. And when we see those things, those are those types of verses in Scripture where you just sort of move by real quick. Ooh, he didn't really mean like perfect, did he? Did he really mean perfect? That's what he said. And Jesus is referring to actually, he's quoting Leviticus. Well, Leviticus says, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Well, Peter says that in his letter. I was just going to read just a short little excerpt here. One of my seminary professors reflects in a book that he wrote on, when he remembers a guy in his church preaching on that passage in Leviticus of be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. He's reflecting and remembering that in his book. So it begins with, it says, God says, be holy for I am holy. The young preacher quoted the words of Leviticus with such fervor that I had little doubt he really expected us to live up to this command for untarnished righteousness. Yet as my eyes scanned those seated between the pulpit and my pew, I wondered if he recognized the true challenge in his words. On the front row were two sisters, both divorced in the past year. One had recently confided to her friends that her loneliness since her marriage had driven her into sinful relationships with other men. The second sister had found more frequent solace in alcohol that trapped her in a horrid cycle of depression that made her treat her kids cruelly, making her feel guilty and cause her to drink again to escape the guilt. Behind the sisters was a successful businessman and long-term elder who had engineered the oust of the previous pastor with the combination of biblical proof texting and political intrigue. The elder's wife, seated next to him, had conducted a skillful phone campaign that created enough questions about the pastor's credibility to disarm any defense he tried to make. In the same pew was a young mother trying to manage two out-of-control preschoolers. Simultaneously, she was ignoring disgusted glances from the nearby elder while glaring daggers at her own husband to motivate him to discipline the kids. Directly in front of me was a teenager sat at the opposite end of the pew from his parents as a geographical statement of what he felt about his relationship with them since he had been grounded for ignoring curfew the previous night. Ultimately, my attention rested on me, the seminary professor who had been moody with his family for days because of a letter from a stranger that had criticized his work. My eyes and my heart testified that there was a sinless person among us, yet the preacher seemed oblivious to our obvious faults. So how can we take on board something like maturity? Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Is that really what God expects of us? How is that possible? How is maturity possible? If that is our standard for maturity, how on earth is our vision statement? How on earth are we going to reach that? Should we change the vision statement? Should we make it so that we can become a maturing community, a sort of kind of perfect community? What do we do with that? What does maturity look like to the community of God's people? Well, our passage, I believe, helps us with that here in Ephesians. We're going to go to it, and we're going to ask the who, the what, and the how question regarding maturity here. So who's involved in this work of maturity? What does it look like, and how does it come about? What are the means to that maturity? First, the who question. Who's involved in maturity? Well, if we look back here again at verse 11, the beginning of the passage there, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry." So first thing there, we can ask for the who's involved. We can look at, he's talking about leaders there. He's talking about people who minister God's word. And that day, Paul was using offices that were in existence in his day, the apostles. That's an office that today we don't have anymore. It was that was an office that established the foundation of the church, that God set the church on the foundation of the apostles' teaching, which was God's word. The prophets, they were proclaiming God's word in that day, revealing God's word. But the crux of it is they're all leaders and they're all ministers of God's word in some shape or fashion. Today you could say instead of an apostle, maybe we have a church planter, someone who plants a church and uses to build a new church. But again, it's the idea of people whose job is ministry, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So that the difference there is these guys, the leaders, those who minister God's word and lead God's people, they're not doing all the work of ministry. They're equipping the people, God's people, for the work of ministry. So, I mean, yeah, that's in my role. My role is unique in the sense that I've set aside as a pastor, a teacher, shepherd, to equip you all for the work of ministry. And, of course, that applies to the elders and leaders in the church. And so when we think about an elder, a leader must be very careful how he fills his time. I know myself, I can think of so many great things that I could be doing, and I could fill my time up with so much doing ministry. But then I have to remember my calling is to equip you all for the work of ministry, that the body of Christ is doing that work. But that's not all of who is involved. Obviously, we're sort of getting at that now because the who of who else is involved are the saints themselves. And that's you all. When it says saint, by the way, it is you. I know we realize we're sinners, but you are saints because you are in Christ. And so that is you all. You're involved in this work of God's body, I mean Christ's body being matured, because you are being equipped for that work of doing ministry. Because there it says, again, it says that he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And see, the result of that is for the building up of the body of Christ. So as you minister, and it looks like a lot of different things, because you're all gifted, you're all equipped, you're all have talents that are all different. There's a diversity in the body of Christ, which is beautiful. And so how that works out in your own life and how you minister within the body, because there's you can minister within, and you can also minister without. You're ministering out in the community, but the body is being built up. The body's being built up. It's being built up when you minister within. It's being built up spiritually as we minister to each other, as we disciple each other, as we speak the gospel to each other. We're building each other up spiritually, qualitatively, if you will. As we minister without, as we minister to those that we know in our community, colleagues at work, fellow students, people that come in here, however we minister, other moms, other young families, as we minister out there, the body's built up as well, because the Lord uses that from time to time. He brings new sheep into the fold through that. And that, of course, can be a long, slow process, or it can happen quickly, but that's up to the Lord. But the body is built up in quantity as well as you minister, as you are equipped, as you do the work of ministry. So the call there is Scripture speaks to this in various places, but Scripture speaks to the body and the role that the body plays in that, and also the role that the leaders play. And so for the body, then, it is, let the leaders equip you. Let the leaders continue to equip you. We all need to be equipped, and we're always being worked on. Again, till the day we die, we are being worked on. It says in Hebrews 13, there, I believe that's up there, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be of joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Now that's a challenge both to the body but also the leaders. By the way, I look to Bruce and Phil's coming on soon, that we have to give an account for the body. That can be an overwhelming thing to think about. But again, it's in the work of Christ. So, but also to the leaders. If we look at 1 Peter, which I believe is also up there, Peter says, to the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, not under compulsion, as other translations would say, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So again, as we think about the who that's involved in the maturity of the body of Christ, it's the leaders equipping the saints, and we all together are doing the ministry that builds up the body. Now, it goes without saying, but it must be said, there's someone else involved in this work of maturity when we think about who is involved. And that's Christ himself, of course. Again, that goes without saying, but it must be said, because it's said actually in the passage. It can be easy to skim over, but there again, back in verse 11, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. He is Christ. Christ gave that. Christ is doing that work. It is his body that's being built up. And as we see later in the passage, it is we are being built up into him, and he is our head. So that must be preeminent for us. That must be our focus, that Christ is the one that's doing the work. We are all involved in that work, but he's doing it. He is our head. So then, as we think about, we've looked at who is involved with maturity in the body of Christ, we can now look at what is it? What is maturity? What does it look like? Look with me there in verse 13. Paul says there again, the the leaders are equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Paul's saying, basically verse 13 is sort of the ultimate goal of what we just talked about. It's the ultimate goal of the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. The ultimate end, the aim, is that we all attain the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. And he's building on that statement of the unity of the faith. He adds qualifying statements to it. That unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God is to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those things are basically helping him describe what he means by unity of the faith, by maturity of the body. So, quite simply, one thing that maturity does look like is unity. Unity in what, though? Unity in the way we look, the things that we do, gifts, ministries, all those things. It's not about those things. It's about what Paul says there, the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Because, again, the body is diverse. We're going to look different. We do look different. We come from all different places around the world. Here, even in this little body of people, we look different, and we will. The body will be diverse and will be gifted in various ways and able to minister in various ways. But the unity comes in our faith. You think about that. The world will say, hey, you're good at this. You're gifted at that. You're talented in this way. Why use your time on the church? You know, use that for personal gain. Make something of yourself with what you're good at doing. I think that's why Paul says there's a unity of the faith, because it requires faith to actually bring such different types of people together for one purpose, which again is Christ himself, what we believe. And it's not a blind faith, is it? Because he says it's a unity of the faith and of the knowledge. It's something that we know. It's something that is based on fact, because it's based on a real person who lived and walked on this earth. It's something that we can trust. It's not a blind faith. And so basically that means it's based on God's Word, how God has revealed himself to us. It's not this is kind of how I feel about God today. You know, you might feel differently about God, but no, we actually have a specific knowledge of God, and it's revealed to us through his Word. And so we're united in that. We're united in what we know to be true in God's Word. Maturity, then, is a corporate reality too, isn't it? It's a corporate reality. Maturity comes, the body is matured as each individual member matures within it. It talks about the stature of Christ, that we're growing up into the stature of Christ. You think of stature, you think of the body of a man, the body of Christ. That's a corporate reality. I remember one time as an adult being able to go back to visit one of my primary school classrooms, you know, years later. And, you know, you go into this type of, you've probably had that same experience. You go back to somewhere that you haven't been since you were a kid, and you look around and you think, I remember this place being so much bigger. You know that feeling, don't you? Because you actually did have a different perspective on it. You were much smaller, and so everything was sort of like kind of coming down on you, but now you're taller, and you're sort of seeing things with a new perspective, and things look smaller because you've gotten bigger, actually. You've grown up. You've gotten taller. And so in a similar way, as we mature, as the body of Christ grows up to the stature of Christ, our perspective changes. I have a visual here, I believe, the body of Christ, just to kind of, I found this the other day. I thought, well, that's helpful, because we're all growing into the stature of Christ. And again, that shows the corporate reality of the body of Christ. And it's diverse. You know, it's filled with all kinds of different people there. You know, one of us, we're over here as a hand, or one of us as a foot. You know, we're all different roles and diverse people being built up into one body, into the stature of Christ. And He is our head. So what maturity is, here at least, one thing it is, it's unity in the body of Christ. And it's unity with diversity. A diversity of gifts, a diversity of abilities. We can't all be the hand over here, because then it would be a Christ head with a big hand or something. You know, it would look weird. It wouldn't, the body wouldn't function. There's beauty in diversity, and there's beauty in the unity of the faith that we're unified under Christ, our head. So maturity is determined by Him also. Maturity is determined by what He tells us and what, how He leads us and how He guides us, not any of our ideas or what we do or what we think we should be doing. It's under Him. And that way, anyone out there, no matter, you could just imagine someone that you think, how will they ever fit into the church? And they will, because there's unity and diversity. Anyone can come into the church and be fitted into the body of Christ, because it's Christ's body. So just briefly then, that as we talk about what maturity is, we can also see here what it's not. And we'll just briefly look at that, because it's sort of straightforward. Verse 14 there, it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Quite simply, Paul is saying, basically anything that does not line up with God's word, again, the knowledge that we're unified under, then those are the things that we will grow up to be able to see through and say, you know, that doesn't sound quite right. There's something a little off about that. It doesn't quite fit in with what I know to be true, the way God has revealed Himself to me in His word. So we're not children tossed around by those things. We can know, I know what God is, how He has shown Himself to me, and that it just doesn't fit. It could be things that feel a little bit off, that sound enticing perhaps, maybe like the prosperity gospel that we hear a lot of, that, you know, if I just have enough faith, then I'll have the things that I want. It sounds nice, but then it's like, that doesn't quite line up with God's word. Works-based religion, that's an enticing thing to think, well, I can have control over how God views me. I can have control over how I... my favor with the Lord. And so if I do certain things, then God will be pleased with me. And again, we know, well, that doesn't line up with the gospel, does it? So we're not tossed around by those things that want to entice us. Deceitful schemes and cunning. It could be folks that have their own ends in mind that want to conform us to what they want of us. They want us to look like. And it's for their own ends. Maturity is unity in the faith, what we know, what we believe, and the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of Christ. And within that, it's being able to embrace the diversity of the body, unified under Christ as our head. So that's a bit about what maturity is. We looked at who is involved and what it is. Now let's look a bit at how. The how question, how has maturity come about in the body? And again, we can look back at the passage here. Look with me in verse 15. He says there, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is our head, into Christ. So again, the what of maturity is the growing up into Christ, into our head. And it's by means of there, so speaking the truth in love. Now, there's an interesting nuance here. In the Greek, there's no word for speaking in that phrase, speaking the truth in love. There's nothing that says anything about speaking in the Greek. They're rather more of a wooden, literal translation might be something like truthing in love. It's sort of something that's hard to translate it. It's more than just about speaking. It's actually about a way of being, living out the truth in love. And so it's truth inseparable from love. So we can ask ourselves any action, any word, anything that we do, we can ask two questions of it. I'm going to say, is it right? Is it true? The other question, is it kind? Is it loving? It can be easy to be that responsible Christian who is so loyal to what we believe to be true that we can become harsh and unloving to those who we see as perhaps have gone against what we think and are know to be true. We've got to pair the to get the truth and love together. And again, it's more than just speaking. It's a way of being. John Piper actually talks about this passage here, that phrase of speaking the truth in love, and he even talks about how he himself for so long missed the context. Because it can be, you know, we take that, it's one of those you sort of commit to memory. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And he sort of took it as, well, this is one of those things where we're called to just any kind of harsh truth that someone needs to hear, we're called to do that. We're called to give that harsh truth, but do it gently. Whatever it may, it could be anything that you know to be true. You think, well, yeah, got to call that out. I'll do it gently. But there's a specific context here for this. Certainly the Bible does talk to us about being truthful and calling out things that need to be called out. But here, the context is mainly about what we've already looked at there in verse 13, attaining to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. The unity of the faith, the unity of what we know, the knowledge of the Son of God. So actually what Paul's really getting at here is again, it's a way of being more than speaking. He's basically saying, live out the gospel together in love. Live out what you know to be true together in love. It's a specific thing of being unified in the faith that we have. So it looks like things like forgiving as you've been forgiven, treating each other as Christ has treated you. I'm thankful that Christ doesn't speak to me every morning when I get up and tell me everything that I've did wrong the day before. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. I'd be so depressed. But the idea of truthing in love, then, is being able to remind each other of the gospel. Say, you are beloved son or daughter of Christ. There is no condemnation for you in Christ. That is the idea of truthing in love here. If you want to, again, use that wooden translation, truthing in love, speaking the truth in love, being truthful in love. That's how we achieve the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Living out the gospel together. It's things like what we saw there in Colossians 3 that was that we used earlier in the service. It says there, again, I'll just read it again. Since God has chosen you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. So the how of maturity in the body is being unified under the gospel and living it out together, reminding each other of the gospel. Reminding each other of what is true. And there's also a bit more there to the how, the means of maturity there. Verse 16, there he goes on. He says, by speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So there again, quite simply, it's functioning as a body. Functioning as a proper body part. Embracing the diversity of the body of Christ. It's being able to encourage each other in their gifts. The way God wired them and equipped them. The way they are being equipped. And it's delighting in those things. And delighting in the fact that they are all of us, unified under our head, Christ. I'll get a bit more into these types of things next week when we look at what it means to be a community in 1 Corinthians 12. But the how, the means of maturity then is basically living out the gospel together, reminding each other of it, and functioning as the body of Christ. Just to kind of bring it to a close here. Sarah Kate and I went a couple of weeks ago, I think. It was a couple of weeks ago. We went to Linear Park and rode bikes through the path there. And there's usually little openings on the path, you know, where you can sort of cut out onto the fields or something like that. So we just stopped and we decided to walk just a little bit out onto the field. And I was looking down here. I said, Sarah Kate, it's a beautiful view. It was a nice day. Just isn't it beautiful to see the open field? And she said, I don't really see the field, Daddy. And so I looked down, I got down at her level, and I could actually see that she was seeing just the weeds in front of her that were grown up to her height, and she couldn't see the field. So I picked her up, and then she said, oh, yeah, I see the field, Daddy. I see the field. In some ways, that's true of the body of Christ. As we grow up together into the body, the stature of Christ, we gain perspective on things. We see the beauty of the field. We see over the weeds. And we see things through Christ's eyes, through his perspective. And that is a thing that we do together in unity. We see the field. We see the beauty of the field. It's sort of like being able to see the wood for the trees. So is maturity possible? We began with that verse, the different way of translating that word to say, can we be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? Is that possible? Is that a burdensome thing that God's word gives us? Is that supposed to be a burden? I don't think so. If we know the gospel, we know it to be true. We know that we actually can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and that comes only through being the body of Christ and growing up into the stature of Christ, because he is the only one who is perfect as his Heavenly Father is perfect. It's not down to us to do it. It's Christ who has done it, and he is building us into his body, growing us up into him as our head. And so that call to be holy, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is, can be a joy, can be a delight. It can be a burden that is light, as Christ says, come to me, my burden is light. In him, that call is light. It can be a joyful thing. It can be a task where you can say, I'm joined to Christ, and I can be what God called me to be, because I'm a member of his body. So as we remember then, who is involved in this work of maturity? Yes, it's the leaders equipping the saints, but it's the saints doing the work of ministry. And it's all under the head, who is Christ. And the maturity, that what, is the unity of faith. It's living out the gospel together, reminding each other of what is true in love. And the how, then, as we discussed, it's being a body, delighting in the diversity of the body that is unified in our faith. As we remember those things, as we're reminded that as being a part of Christ's body, that we will become a mature body of Christ. That is possible. We will be able to achieve. We will be able to reach that vision statement that we have for ourselves to become a confident, mature community of disciples making disciples. Let me pray.